like David, because David just wore a linen ephod. And what did he have under the linen ephod?
Nothing.
You're never going to see it.
Hopefully he wasn't dancing out in the sun.
For him.
He was dancing for the sun. Oh. He sees you. God is present in this house because we've invited him in and we're calling out the name of Jesus. So God sees you. He's looking at you today. Isn't that something? I think it's pretty cool. We got a long time to pray. Forgiveness. you don't understand that pitch on. All the blessings in your life, the greatest gift from God is His forgiveness. Let's stand and sing together.
Sight, no one living is righteous. Ouch.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm excited about the message today. Surprise. But I have the quiz. Jerry, we have a multiple choice quiz. It doesn't matter if you get any wrong because nobody watches everybody except Walter. And there are three answers and they're multiple choice. Walter, I'm not done with you yet. In Isaiah chapter 1, what did God say he would do to Zion? And it's interesting. You know what? I actually looked up what Zion was because you see that Zion is actually just a city of God. That will be the city of God. So that and so it's Jerusalem. Some people say Jerusalem. But it's interesting. But what did he say he would do to Zion? Did he say he would destroy it, redeem it, or move it away? How many thought that he said in Isaiah 1 that he would destroy Zion? How about redeem Zion? Anybody? How about three? Move it away. We got more. He will redeem Zion. Because he is what? The Redeemer. After the angel warned Joseph, after the angel warned Joseph in a dream about Herod, where did they flee to? Where did the three of them, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, after the angel warned Joseph in a dream that Herod would, where did they flee to? Did they go to Bethlehem? Did they go to Egypt? Or did they go to Jerusalem? After the angel warned Joseph, how many think they went to Bethlehem? Anybody Bethlehem? How about Egypt, that they went to Egypt? How about Jerusalem? There's David. They're getting better every day, David. They went to Egypt. Mary, Joseph, and the baby. That's where they were. Good job. I like that. Paul said in the book of Romans, Paul said, if Christ is in you, the body is what? If Christ is in you, then the body is free, dead, or strong. Paul said that if Christ is in you, the body is what? How many think free? Your body's free. Christ is in you. How about dead? If Christ is in you, dead. How about strong? Christ is in you, the body's strong. Aha. Because of sin, your body is dead, but the spirit. Tell them one more time, Andrew. You enjoyed that. Give it to them one more time. The body is dead because the spirit of God is inside you. If Christ is inside you, all this stuff is meaningless. Good one. That was a good one. You see? If you couldn't see behind you, Jerry, but trust me, they all didn't get out. How did Jesus promise the apostles that they would be baptized, according to the book of Acts? How did Jesus promise the apostles that they would be baptized? By fire, by water, or by the Holy Spirit? How did Jesus promise the apostles they would be baptized? How many think by fire? Fire. How about water? And water baptized. How about the Holy Spirit? Yes. Through power and through knowledge, you would be baptized through the Holy Spirit. And don't let that word, we're going to get to that word in a minute, baptized. And that we're going to get to that, so it's pretty interesting. I got one more today. Who offered to pay money for the power of the Holy Spirit? Which was an interesting story. Somebody saw what the Holy Spirit, and he offered to pay money for it, for the Holy Spirit. Was it Simon? Was it Ananias? Or was it Nicodemus who offered money for the power of the Holy Spirit? That was pretty good. How many think it was Simon offered money? How many think Ananias? And how many think it was Nicodemus that offered for the money? Well, you know Nicodemus was a Pharisee, right? So that wasn't him. Simon was a sorcerer who wanted more power. And he saw the power and he said, how much for that power? How much is the power, by the way?
Zero.
Oh, it's priceless. How much did you pay for it?
Zero.
Zero. Nada. Praise God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're going to be in the book of Romans again today. Surprise. And I'm going to tell you right off the top, Bible study Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we're not going to be discussing Romans. I'm just going to give you a heads up. Romans 6:14 says this, and I shall read it to you. Ready? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now the work of dominion, you look up the meaning and it means control. So let me say that. For sin shall not have control over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Yeah. Does that make you feel good? And oh, by the way, this is the law. What is this? The 10 what? Those are the law. That's the law. So you are no longer under the law, for you are not under law, but under what? Grace. Okay. You guys okay over there? We got bugs? Animals? You see another bat on the wall now? So Romans, now that was pretty good. You're free, eh? So but Romans 7:1 says, the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Wait a minute, what? For sin shall not have control over you, for you are not under law but under grace. But Romans 7 says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak of those who know the law, and we know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. What's up with that? The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. I look around and you all look alive to me. Look around. Everybody look alive to you? Everybody's right? Paul says in 7:7, how do I know sin except through the law given by God? So he's saying, I wouldn't even know sin if it wasn't for this. How do I know sin? 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Is the law sin? No, certainly not, he says. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For why would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. Wow. So how do I know sin except through the law? Falling short. Let me say this again. Falling short of the law. What is the law?
Commandments.
Is to sin. Covet, murder, hate, stealing, cheating, lying. So how can I, a sinner, even be worthy of God? That the dilemma continues. So let's go back into Romans 6. We'll go back into Romans 6. And I'll read it for you if you don't, because it's always good. 6:3. We just go back to Romans 6:3. Let's see what, because now I'm confused. Paul said, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized with Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, Walter, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Yay! You're not cheering or not. I'm talking about you. This is you. Let me read that one. Come on. Sixth grade. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Free. And now you see that baptized. I don't want you to get that the thing in your head. Well, I will that water. No, no. Say no with me. No. Because Ephesians 1 says this. And Marilyn, I forgive me because I should have given you this scripture too. I got it too late. But Ephesians 1:13, listen to what it says. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, having what? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. You get it now? You get see what he's saying? After you believed, what else did you do? Nothing. It doesn't say that. But how many believe? Really? How many believe? That's all you got to do. You don't have to do. You don't have to run exercise and then, Jerry, you just got to believe. It said right there. I wrote it down. When you believe, you receive the what? The Holy Spirit. And not only receive it, Jim, but you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what Paul's trying to tell you. And baptized just means connected to Jesus by the what? The Holy Spirit. God, you got to catch on to that Holy Spirit thing, because that's the great, I mean, he's inside of you just yearning to give you all this stuff and teach you. The more you learn about the Holy Spirit, the more you want to learn, because he's the one that leads you. He's the one that guides you. He's the one that talks in your head when you're talking to God. He's the one that wants in your heart and makes you cry when you see something sad or something so wonderful. All the blessings. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But wait now. You might say, but wait now.
But wait now.
Am I free to sin? I mean, I'm not under the law anymore because I have the Holy Spirit. So maybe I'm just free to go out and do what I want anytime I want because God will forgive me. I'm free. Well, let's go on. Let's read 7:4. Therefore, Walter, my brethren, you also have become dead in the law to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Bear fruit to who?
God.
Aha. But there's something else in this. I want to get to right. Not to be free to sin, to do as we please, but to be joined with Jesus, that we should bear fruit to God. And listen, this is part of it. We could never be right trying to follow the law. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We can never be right trying to follow the law as religions demand. Let me say that again. As religions demand, we could never be right with the law. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying now? Come with me now. Because it gets better. It gets better, right? Religion demands that we have to be right with the law in order to be saved. We have to be right with the law in order to be received. I tell them, I'm sorry, because the Bible says I'm married to another. I'm not married to your religion. I'm not married to your teachers. I'm not married to your building. I'm married to another. Hallelujah. 7:4. Therefore, my brother, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. Do y'all read that? You're already married. And to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Wow. Married to another. This should just make you go crazy thinking, I'm no longer under the law. I'm no under anybody else because I'm married to who? Jesus. Say that with me. I'm married to who?
Jesus.
That's you. You're married to him. Nobody can separate. Who can separate a husband and a wife? The Bible said don't do it. You are married to Jesus. Understand that? No religion. I don't care where they're going. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care how beautiful the building is. I don't care what denomination you want to be. That's great when you go there. If that's where God puts you to learn, that's great. But you're married to him. Amen? When the pulpit starts preaching anything other than that, that's adultery. Understand it. Understand the depth of that when you learn how to argue with people. They're preaching adultery if they're off this word. 1 second, they're preaching adultery. Why? Because you're married to who?
Jesus.
You got that? I mean, really in here. Because it's power and it's freedom. You're married to Jesus. Wow. How about you, Jacob? If we are no longer under the law, then why was the law given? If we're not under the law, Deacon Sergio, and we can't keep the law, faith, why was the law given? I have an answer. The law was not as a way to salvation. The law is not the way to salvation. The law is a way to a Savior. A Savior. And I looked up the meaning. How many of you know what the meaning of Savior is? I've learned, and I talked to a very prominent psychologist who I love very much. I get to talk to him. He said he started doing that a while back. Looking up the meaning of words, faith, because we think we know the meaning, but when you look it up, you get this clear, like dominion and control. A savior is a deliverer, a liberator, a rescuer. Ladies, a knight in shining armor. Jesus is the redeemer.
Amen.
You're a redeemer. You can't follow that. You can't anything with that unless you have a redeemer.
So I ask you this then. So is there something wrong in the law? No. We could not know sin except through the law. Let me say, you would not know what sin was if God didn't give us the law. So here's the truth. How many want the truth, the whole truth? All right, good. When we fall short, it's not the commandment's fault, right? When we fall short, whose fault is it?
Your fault.
My fault. The weakness then is not the law. The weakness is who?
Us.
Right? God draws the boundaries. We cross them. That sinful nature takes over. Remember this. This is so important because you remember this. I don't believe you can, whatever it's in my opinion, that we're not born with sin. I hear that, oh, when we're born with sin. I don't believe that for one second, that a child is born from the womb with sin. I believe what the Bible says is we're born with a sinful nature. That's what it says. And that makes the whole picture different, don't you? When they take a little baby and baptize it, why are you doing it? Oh, because he's born with sin. Oh, okay, whatever. We have a sinful nature. And I looked up what nature means, because I just want you to know. Essence, character, and personality. We have the personality and the character and the essence to commit sin. But we don't have sin. It's in our nature. So I tell you this, evil knows no end. You should write that on your refrigerator. Evil knows no end, and this is what I'm talking about. How many have ever been in love? You've been in love, right? Sometimes love can turn to hate. You ever saw that? How about love turning to lust? Anybody ever see that? How about peace turning to anger? Anybody ever see that? Because we have people do it all the time. Forgiveness turns to revenge. Anybody ever see that? And being content, being happy, turns into covet. You see? We have the nature to do either one. And you all got to agree with me that that's who we are. We can hate. We can be jealous. We can have revenge. We can be angry. We can have lustful desires. Because we're human and we have a human nature. Hallelujah. In this part, he goes 7:10. Paul takes it a little bit further. I'm going to go. I like this. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. He's simply saying this, listen. He said, sin promises satisfaction. Amen? And I'm not saying that smoking is a sin, but anybody ever smoke, you think, I have a cigarette, I gotta have a cigarette. That's a lie, because you have that cigarette and you have to feel good, but 5 minutes later, what do you want? I gotta have a cigarette. See, sin is a lie. It doesn't bring satisfaction. Sin claims an excuse. Anybody ever have an excuse for sinning? Oh, yes, you did. Remember, Flip Wilson made a career out of it. The devil made me do it. Well, that wasn't that funny, because it was true. Sin falsely promises freedom from punishment. Wow. See, sin is a deceiver. And where does sin come from? Satan. And he's the king of deceivers. He can deceive you in your head. Even though you think he can't, that's when he loves it. When you say, he can't fool me, because he already fooled you for saying that. So I wrote this. Understanding Romans 7 opens you up to understanding Romans 8, where you have a deeper understanding to God and to Jesus. You're standing in heaven, which opens up your understanding to the Bible. Wow. Exactly like the New Testament, right? When you opens, once you say this, once you say, aha, I get it, once, you want to know more. Once you learn one thing and you say, you have that aha moment, you say, what else can I learn? And that's exactly what Paul is going for. That's the effect what he wants. He wants you to understand more about you and God and heaven and about the Redeemer. And so when you say that, say, oh, I never knew that. What else can I learn that I never knew? Amen? Because trust me, every time I open up this Bible, I learn something I didn't know before with an understanding. And when you have understanding, everything becomes clearer. Your faith rises up and your peace rises up. Even though you're in pain or all these things are going around, but you say, God, he's my Redeemer. I look to him. I look for him for peace. And that's exactly what Paul's trying to get us to do, to understand the book of Romans. You understand 7, so it makes it easier to understand Romans 8. Praise God. Now, I got to get, this is, if anybody's ever read the Bible, and I don't know, Dave, you read, some places you get, you never forget. You read a scripture, when I first started reading the Bible, and this one, I just never forgot. One of my favorite paragraphs, because this, I call it me and Paul. So I would call it you and Paul, because Paul, guess what? I got it. Paul was a human being. He made tents for a living. He was a tent maker. But if he fell down, he would hurt his knee. If he bent his ankle in the hole, he hurt his ankle. Amen? He had something wrong with him, and we never find out what it was, but God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul was a human being, just like me. If he was here today, he'd be talking to you just like I am. Maybe with an accent, I don't know. Maybe with a bigger beard. But he was one of us. He's writing about God, walking with God, talking to God, being with Peter and John, but he was just like you and me. So when I read this next part, the first time I read it, I said, I get it. This is so cool. Are y'all ready? I hope so. I love this. 7:15, here we go. For what I am doing, I do not understand. I'll read it to you and we'll go over. But I want you to write. It's like a Shakespeare. This is like a Shakespearean paragraph. I love this. Listen, it says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I, who is it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I doing it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Hallelujah. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity for the law of sin, which is in my members. I'll stop right there. I read that the first time and I said, thank you. I don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. There's Paul. Paul is just saying, I know what I want to do, but I can't do it. My flesh. I know what's right and I know what's, and I mean, I love that. The first time I read it, for what I am doing, I do not understand. How many have ever said that? How many ever, when you swear, when you say something, you say, why did I say that? When you get mad at someone, you say, why did I get mad? When you're, you know, when all the things that we've done to fall short, you wonder, why? Why? Because sin is what? A lie. Say that with me. Sin is a lie. So when you wonder why, you say, right there, sin is a lie. Not the Ten Commandments. That doesn't lie, but I can't follow that. I love that. I mean, I've been so excited all week about reading that for what I will to do, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do it. If then what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. For I know that in me, that is, to my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I love that. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, I will not to do that I practice. Isn't that great? I'm reading the Bible and saying, somebody gets me. He understands me. That's me. Me and Paul. I can go around with Paul. I can go around shopping with him now. I can go talk to Paul. Why? Because he's just like me. He wrote the Bible, but he's just like you. Jim is just like you. You can go hang out and have a beer with him. He'll sit there and have a, I don't know why we're drinking, but I, no. So he says, I do not understand. So he does not lack desire. Understand that? What he is saying now, I don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. So he doesn't lack the desire to do good. Can I get an amen? You understand? He said, what I will to do, that I do not practice. So Jim, it's not a lack of knowledge, amen? You understand what I'm saying? He knows what's right and wrong. Can you get me, amen? He knows what's right or wrong. So it's not a lack of knowledge. He knows the law. He thus says in 18, how to perform what is good, I do not find. There you go. There you go. That's the line in Romans 7. That's the line that you have to understand. How to perform what is good, I do not find. Paul had all the right feelings, but he didn't have one thing. What was that? Power. He didn't have the power to overcome. He understood it. He knows the knowledge of it, but the law never gives us the power. The law says, here are the rules. And some people say, or else. But the law gives us no power to keep it. You don't have power inside of you, in your flesh, to keep it. It doesn't give you the power, the understanding you have. Paul said it, but I will to do that I do not practice. He knows what to do. He knows the understanding to do good. He does not lack the desire. The law says, here are the rules or else, but the law gives us no power to overcome. Why? Why would God do that? The law came to teach us. We still could not. We don't need a teacher. We need a Savior. The law came to motivate us like a coach, but it could not. We didn't need a coach. We needed a Savior. The law came as a doctor to help us, but it could not do it. We don't need a doctor. We need a Savior. Who's the Savior? He is the Redeemer. Hallelujah.
Woo! I love that.
We're not doing Romans at the Bible study. I'll just give you a heads up. I'm not going to tell you what. Walk into, you're married, you're the bride, you're with him. No matter where you go, no So yeah, you got that, but you have to do this first.
Ooh.
Nah. So praise God. Give him praise. I just love it. Then the greatest gift he gives you is forgiveness. So he asks for you between you and God right this minute. Say, Lord, forgive me for my iniquities. That's what you say from your heart. Say, Lord, just forgive me for my iniquities. Any word that I might have turned to the left or right, anything, any thoughts I might have had, anything, Lord. My nature, my sinful nature, forgive me, Lord. I want to be cleansed to take this. As he poured the wine into a cup, he said, this is my blood being shed for you. According to the book of Matthew, he said, for the remission of your sins, he paid the price. And he said, drink and do this in my name, in remembrance, Jesus' name. Let it heal you for a minute. Let that peace that surpasses understanding heal you. Let it heal your mind. Let it give you peace. Let this message today give you peace. When you have that kind of peace, your body begins to heal. When you have that kind of faith, your body begins to, and then you heal people around you because they see your peace and they see your faith. They see your joy, and that brings them healing. Understand that. You want to heal people? Show them Christ in you. Don't tell them. Show them. Let them see that there's something different about you. That's why you're coming to church. Don't come to church and not receive it. Receive the greatest gift, God, in your spirit. Let people say there's something different about you. I've known you for 10 years. There's something different about you. I've known you. And what is different? And you say, God, I'm not perfect. In fact, what I do, I will not to do, and I will to do what I don't, and all that. Because I have this nature. But I love you, and God is so good. Receive that. And have that peace. And everybody here going through a battle, I know my wife and I were talking. My bride and I were talking about a battle we've been going through now for almost 3 years. Unthinkable. It makes zero sense that the only place we can go is to Him for peace. faith. I want my wife to pray for that like she prays. She could pray off the rain. She has this faith, and that's true, amen? And she prayed off a blizzard. We all prayed. I don't even remember last year when we all prayed. We're going to get the biggest blizzard we have seen in years. And last year we had that, and we all prayed together. Somebody was mentioning it last Sunday. And what? How much snow we got? Zero now. You know, we could say, but I believe we pray. Amen. Thank you. Just believe. And let that peace, whatever you're going through, it might seem impossible. And that's where God loves to work. And I you know, that's probably almost like he just liked to say that, and hate to tell you that, but he likes working in the impossible. So he's working in the impossible, and you're with him, and you're sitting in that impossible seat. And he said, good, I got you right where I want you. I'm going to deal with the impossible. This church is possible because of you. You know, it's just possible because of you. You're here. And some people would say a church in Derby, that's impossible. But look at what we've done through the years. Look at your family today. Look at how beautiful you all are. And if we just got people to get the word of God, understand it, it would change their life. You all have to give him praise this morning.
Home.